top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Tuesday, March 5th, in the headlines. CCM Vice President Cesar Emmanuel implies that despite the undisclosed status of the China-Dominica MOU, its contents can be speculated upon through local behaviors.
95DA.com.
Five nations have officially notified the United Nations of their plans to deploy troops for an international force aimed at aiding the Haitian National Police in addressing armed gang activities. And Donald Trump achieved a major victory as the U.S. Supreme Court ruled to prevent states from disqualifying federal candidates over insurrection-related constitutional provisions.
Big Station.
Details coming up next.
DA.com. Right on cue.
Cesar Emmanuel, the vice president of the Concerned Citizens Movement, emphasized the significance of transparency regarding the funding of the Dominica delegation's trip to China. He underscored that regardless of the funding source, any misuse of funds would be deemed wasteful. Emmanuel further noted that by observing developments within Dominica, one could infer the contents of the undisclosed China-Dominica Memorandum of Understanding, even if it remains undisclosed to the public.
We should actually try to know who's paying for that trip. And if it's the government of Dominica, we know that, that's a waste of money. If it's the Chinese, it's a waste of money also, because that money could be put to better use in Dominica, right? And I also want to echo that the MOU, even if we haven't got that physical document, mm-hmm, in our hand, we can give a factual basis for its existence and presumably what is in it. Now, that assumption itself is grounded in a particular reality that is happening in Dominica. So people say hypothetical things are not normally true, but we have evidence to actually place our speculation in an understanding that has a particular reality to its basis. And that is, we are seeing so many things going on that's been done by the Chinese in Dominica, right? Which has to be tied to something. These people are just going to walk into Dominica and start doing X, Y, and Z.
Emmanuel highlighted the multitude of projects currently underway in Dominica, initiated and carried out by individuals from China. He emphasized that this serves as clear evidence of an agreement between Dominica and the People's Republic of China.
We see the construction of hotels, construction of airports. We see the construction of bridges, the construction of roads. And most importantly, we see a development of a mercantile sector, Chinese sector, in Roseau Central. Those things couldn't happen without any particular understanding between two governments. There has to be a relational basis to that type of activities we see the Chinese are doing in Dominica. It could not happen by mistake. It could not happen by accident, all right? So having said that, and ask our listeners to remember the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. Reagan was then president and Gorbachev was then president of Russia. And Reagan did call on him to tear down the wall in 1989, and the wall fell, and East Germany became part of a democratic process which they were fighting heavily to become part of, but yet the Soviet Union would not allow them to be free. Also in 1989, we had the Chinese progressive folks, we call Tiananmen Square, protesting, and thousands of them died for their freedom, just as we are fighting right now for electoral reform, so we could have a one man, one vote that is not corrupted.
And that was CCM Vice President Cesar Emmanuel. The Organization of American States, OAS, and its Executive Secretariat for Integral Development extend their congratulations to all women across the Americas, in honor of International Women's Day on March 8 for 2024, one of the initiatives reinforcing the OAS commitment to promoting women's inclusion in economic development is the Women's Economic Empowerment Project. Through this project, the OAS aims to empower women-led and owned micro, small, and medium enterprises to leverage the digital economy and establish sustainable livelihoods in six Eastern Caribbean countries, that's including Antigua and Barbuda, Dominica, Grenada, St. Lucia, St. Kitts and Nevis, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95da.com. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit addressed concerns on a local radio show on Saturday, refuting the opposition's allegations of missing billions from the CBI program. He emphasized the ongoing projects in Dominica as evidence that these funds are being effectively utilized. Additionally, Prime Minister Skerrit assured the Dominican people that there are no outstanding debts owed to the Dominican people.
This talk about missing billions. But at the same time they're saying that they're missing billions, they are also citing several projects in the country that which have been financed by the CBI and which are being financed by the CBI. I want to say to Dominicans very clearly and without any fear of contradiction, there are absolutely no missing monies that are due to the people of Dominica. None. This government has had a stolen record of being able to account for every single dollar placed in its care and oversight. When you speak to the World Bank, we have 100% record of being able to account for the resources they have given to us. They do their own audits, and we are in the top class in terms of being able to account for the monies given to us. And we recall when we came into government in 2000, we were not able to borrow from the World Bank. You know why? Because the UDLP had gone against the procurement rules of the World Bank, and we had to repay the monies to the World Bank, and it's only then we were able to get back into the black books of the World Bank. We have been able, you know, for example, the European Union. The European Union can tell you that Dominica is its best student insofar as the use of the monies given to us and our ability to account for the resources.
Prime Minister Skerrit asserts that the current administration of the Dominica Labour Party stands out as the sole political entity in the nation's history to effectively and responsibly manage the resources and finances derived from the Citizenship by Investment program.
When it came to government, there was a fiasco in respect to the water project in the Kalago territory, that the United Workers Party went contrary to the procurement rules of the European Union and gave the contract to the then chairman of the board of Duasco to carry out works for on behalf of Duasco. In respect to the CBI, that is the only government, only party in the history of the CBI program where people can see for their eyes, with their eyes, what this government has been able to do utilizing the resources of the CBI. When Eugene Charles made her soul rest in peace was the prime minister of this country, nobody knew what was being used, how the CBI money was being used. As a matter of fact, when you spoke about CBI in days of Eugenia Charles, only thing you could recall people talking about was the Lai River Hotel project. There were no infrastructural projects happening in Dominica with CBI funds. There were no public sector investment programs. There were no poverty alleviation programs. There were no employment programs. There were no investments in small businesses. There were no investments in agriculture, and the list goes on. When the United Workers Party came on board, they were in fact running two programs, one in the Ministry of Finance and the other in the Office of the Prime Minister. The records are there to show, with letters from Jose Louis, the then permanent secretary in the Ministry of Legal Affairs, raising alarm, being a whistleblower, but he was never taken on seriously. And the United Workers Party was never able to account for any monies because we never knew how the monies were spent. We never knew how much was raised under CBI when the Workers Party was in government.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit, president of the Concerned Citizens Movement, Washburn Coffee, has revealed ongoing discussions regarding a potential 20-person delegation trip to China this month. He expressed hope that the Chinese government would cover the expenses associated with the visit. Coffee remains optimistic that rational decision-making will ultimately deter the government from proceeding with incurring expenses on the Dominican people for such a large delegation to China.
It has been mentioned about 20 persons delegation to the Communist Party of China. Let us hope that the Chinese may be paying all of that so that our treasury would be relieved of such an expense. I would hope that the Chinese would be prepared to pay for all the expenses involved in what I refer to as an excursion, party, good time. Nothing to do with where we are in Dominica with regards to our economics and our finances. But it brings a lot of things to the fore, because if we were to go and incur expenses in such an exercise or excursion, it begs the question as to the financing for public services in terms of the hospital, in terms of education, in terms of health generally, and all the other sectors that seem to be suffering as a result of the cash-strapped government, as it seems to be at the moment. So I would hope that good sense would prevail and that the government will not go ahead and incur such expenditure for a 20-person contingent going to China just to celebrate the anniversary of the 20th anniversary of our connection with China.
Coffey has emphasized that the anniversary travel has shed light on various issues, including the MOU signed between Dominica and China. He highlighted a lack of transparency regarding this MOU document, which has not been made available to public for citizens to review.
Even more so, and more importantly, it brings to mind the MOU. We were told many years ago that Dominica signed an MOU with the government of China. But where is the transparency? Where is the MOU in black and white so that every one of us as citizens of Dominica could read and divulge and satisfy ourselves that this MOU is an amicable arrangement between the government of China and the government of Dominica? And in the absence of transparency, we have to believe that something may be wrong. Something is wrong. And I am challenging the government, even at this late stage of that 20th anniversary, we the citizens of the Commonwealth of Dominica, we need to be informed in black and white as to what the 20th anniversary of this engagement with China, what it involves in terms of the MOU and Dominica's commitment in terms of that MOU. And that is lacking, and the government need to, at this point in time, come very straight and to inform the citizens of Dominica what is it in it for them and what it is in it for China.
President of the Concerned Citizens Movement, Washburn Coffey. In other news, according to a recent spokesperson from the United Nations, the Bahamas, Bangladesh, Barbados, Benin, and Chad have formally notified the UN of their plans to contribute personnel to the international force aimed at assisting the Haitian National Police in combating armed gangs. UN spokesperson Stephane Durick informed reporters that a trust fund has been established to support the International Security Assistance Operation, which contributions totaling $10.8 million. Additionally, commitments totaling $78 million have been made. The United Nations Security Council approved a foreign security mission to Haiti in October, a year after the Caribbean nation requested aid in addressing violent gangs that had seized control over its capital city, Port-au-Prince. The resolution passed by the 15-member council requires nations to inform UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres of their participation in the security mission. However, it is important to note that the mission is not a UN initiative. Difficulty in finding a nation willing to lead a security assistance operation delayed the response to Haiti's appeal for help. Kenya initially pledged to deploy 1,000 police officers last year, but the plan was halted by a local court for being unconstitutional. According to Kenyan President William Ruto, the proposal will move forward, although Guterres has yet to be formally informed. And in a significant decision on Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court delivered a major win to Donald Trump, ruling against states' ability to disqualify the federal office candidates based on insurrection-related constitutional provisions. The court also overturned Colorado's decision to exclude Trump from its ballot.
The U.S. Supreme Court on Monday rejected an effort to remove Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump from the primary ballot in Colorado one day before that state holds primary nominating contests ahead of the 2024 presidential election. The unanimous ruling from the nine justices reverses a decision late last year by Colorado's top court disqualifying Trump. The case cited a rarely invoked clause of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, Section 3, which bars from office any, quote, officer of the United States who took an oath, quote, to support the Constitution of the United States, and then, quote, engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof.
Trump incited a violent mob to attack our Capitol.
A group of Colorado voters argued that Donald Trump's efforts to subvert his 2020 election loss, which fueled the violent January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol, amounted to insurrection. Trump's attorneys argued he was not an officer under the 14th Amendment and denied the allegation of insurrection. The Supreme Court ruled on Monday that only Congress, not states, can determine a candidate's eligibility under the 14th Amendment. Monday's decision clears the way for Trump to wrap up the Republican nomination. He remains the commanding front runner. His only remaining rival, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, has won but a single contest, the Washington, D.C. primary over the weekend. The Supreme Court's speedy resolution of the ballot qualification question stands in contrast with its slower pace in another case, whether Trump has presidential immunity from criminal charges. The former president is facing federal charges accusing him of illegally retaining classified documents and misleading investigators seeking to recover them, and also for a number of alleged schemes to subvert the 2020 election. The justices are scheduled to hear arguments in the immunity case in late April, a much longer timeline. The Supreme Court's 6-3 conservative majority includes three Trump appointees.
That's the morning news, and here's the recap of the headlines. CCM Vice President Cesar Emmanuel implies that despite the undisclosed status of the China-Dominica MOU, its contents can be speculated upon through local observation. Five nations have formally notified the United Nations of their plans to deploy troops for an international force aimed at aiding the Haitian National Police in addressing armed gang activities. And Donald Trump achieved a major victory as the U.S. Supreme Court ruled to prevent states from disqualifying federal candidates over insurrection-related constitutional provisions.
Q95.
I've been your presenter for this environment.
5Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.